Hello, and thank you so much for joining us. My name is Lindsay Wimmer. I'm the Executive Director of Star Legacy Foundation, and I'm honored today to be joined by Dr. Mark Turgeson. He is a professor of psychology and the assistant chairperson of the psychology department at St. John's University in Queens, New York. He's also served as the president of the school division of the New York State Psychological Association, president of the Trainers of School Psychologists, and is the president of Division 52 of the American Psychological Association. He's a fellow of the Albert Ellis Institute in New York City, where he's also an approved supervisor. He's also the clinical director at North Coast Psychological Services, where he maintains a clinical practice. Unfortunately, Mark knows our personal side of loss very personally, as he and his wife lost their daughter Savannah to stillbirth in April of 2018. Since then, they have been very involved in the New York Metro chapter of Star Legacy Foundation, and Mark graciously facilitates our Dad's Grief Discussion Group that's hosted by Star Legacy Foundation on the second and fourth Mondays of each month. So, Mark, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today.
Thank you for having me, Tim. Looking forward to the discussion.
Yeah. So I want to start with your background because, like many health professionals, you have a foot in both the personal and the professional world, and you have connections to both sides in this realm. So can you talk a little bit about your personal and professional path to where you are today?
Sure. And again, I think the paths kind of have merged, and from a sad perspective, but I think hopefully a hopeful, helpful perspective. So my training is, as Lindsay had mentioned at the beginning, I'm a psychologist. I've been at St. John's University for the last 26 years now, and the kind of therapy approach I've worked with is helping individuals, both adults and students as well, manage different emotional and behavioral difficulties that they experience throughout their life. Grief being one of them, but I would not say that was a primary area of my clinical work or my academic or research or scholarly work. But it was many people experience trauma, many people experience grief, and then the accompanying anxiety and depression that probably goes, not probably, it does go along with that. The kind of approach that I take, it's referred to as the general umbrella, is more of a cognitive behavioral approach to therapy, which looks at how are people thinking in these moments and what are helpful or hurtful thoughts that they may have that can contribute to helpful, adaptive, resilient responses to difficulty or hurtful thoughts that keep managing and maintaining some of the anxiety, depression, or trauma, or shock, or grief that they experience. And then, as Lindsay had said, on April 1st, 2018, my wife and I lost our daughter, Savannah, to stillbirth. And we were alone. We didn't have resources. Still, it's amazing, Lindsay, 7 years later, almost to the day, still get choked up about talking about this, but there were not many resources available to us. And that's when we connected shortly after that with Star Legacy. And my wife and I found a new profession. My wife's also a psychologist. We found a new professional connection because it was now even more personally meaningful to us that it was something else that how can we honor our daughter is by trying to help other people through honoring her. And so it took a while. We've been involved in different aspects of the New York Star Legacy Metro chapter, but then to the point where I was comfortable actually running a group. And to Star Legacy's credit, we moved from once a month for these dads to twice a month a little over a year ago now. And I will tell you, clinically, it's probably the most meaningful work that I get to do, but it's also some of the more challenging emotional work that I get to do. I've developed, in my mind, helpful relationships with many of the fathers who join the group. And I've watched them help new members of the group when they come in. And this is one of the dads in one of the groups said, "This is the group nobody wants to be a member of, but we're so glad that it exists." And so for me personally, like I find that's my way to honor my daughter Savannah is by continuing to do some of the work. And if I can help other people and help facilitate that, I feel like I've her loss, while I will never be who I was before, her loss has made me a better clinician. Has made me, I think, has increased my empathy, and we have a daughter, Amelia, subsequent to losing Savannah, and I honestly think it's made me a better parent too. And so, in thinking about that loss, I think I probably value the small moments more than I would have if we didn't have that loss too. That being said, I still wish we didn't have it, but recognizing how there's a way to take something from tragic experiences like that and make something of it too.
I think that's beautifully said, and thank you for sharing your own experiences, because I think it a lot of people can relate to that, and also it's one of the things that I think is still very stigmatized out there, is that this grief doesn't go away, and so just like you said, many years later it can still be right there in a heartbeat, and that's an okay thing. So thank you for demonstrating that so well.
Thank you.
So I know we don't like to generalize, and I don't want to ask you to do that, but are there common issues or concerns that you see fathers dealing with, or that comes up in the group? And specifically, how might that be either similar or different from the grief of their partners or the mothers?
And their partners and also their extended family too. I think that's a great question. I'm gonna start with the back end of the question, then talk about the unique parts. The grief, the shock at the loss. We see we get dads, some of whom have come in within 5 to 7 days of having this loss. And so those experiences that moms and dads have and extended family too, the grief, the shock about the loss, the anxiety, those are probably for me the common issues that we see across individuals. And I've had the chance through other connections to speak with extended family members at some of our fundraising events or walks and like listening to their stories. And you hear these common threads or common themes across them. What I think is unique about dads, and this is one of the aspects I'm very fortunate to get to run the group and work with the fathers. I do think they experience more anger than many other than moms may or that other family members may. Anger at the fact that this happened, anger that this is not consistent with what they thought was going to happen, and a lot of anger at themselves, which is not healthy, and we talk about that. Like I should have done something different, or I should have protected my child, and how could I not have? And we know that many of the stillbirths, there are multiple factors that contribute to that. But when parents and dads start putting that burden of responsibility upon themselves, it just leads to a higher level of anger, and then sadly, unfortunately, withdrawal from some of their support networks and withdrawal from their partners too. And so there's the anger that they maybe feel towards themselves or the expectations about that too, but then also about others. And this gets to, and I'm sure we'll talk about this a little bit later, but some societal views for how males are supposed to grieve. And I think the fact that others don't know what to say in general to an individual who experienced a stillbirth, but then don't know what to say more specifically to dads who experienced it, people withdraw, and then the dads get a little frustrated with, we have one of the members of the group talking about relationships of theirs that have changed, like best friends who haven't been able to be there for them. And that they have moved on from those relationships. And so I think some of the societal roles and expectations for males, and from a personal perspective too, I know when I first went back to work after losing Savannah, I had a colleague ask me how I'm doing. And my first answer was for my wife. I was like, oh, Carolyn's doing fine. Carolyn's handling it as best she can. Here's what's Carolyn doing. And my colleague, and I remember where we were, he stopped me and was like, I didn't ask about Carolyn. I asked about you. And I think that's one of the things that I would encourage any listeners to do who have had family members or friends experience this is ask. Like, don't hesitate, reach out. If someone says, I'm not okay talking about it now, at least you've made the effort to talk about it. I think many dads, because people don't know what to say, and I think we are socialized as a society to you get pregnant, you go into the hospital, you come home with a baby. And that's the expectation. And that expectation gets shattered for these families, and they don't know what to do. And the other part, too, and again, we might get this to a little later on, the first few weeks, many family members, many individuals are walking around in a fog, in a state of shock, though. But much of the difficulty people experience is in the weeks or months later, though. And so, just if someone is back at work, or just if someone is doing something that they normally would do, that does not mean they're doing well. And so, reaching out to them and continuing to reach out to them and not hesitating. And we talk about this in our group. If you're fine with saying, not right now, but thank you, that at least opens a door for future support and future communication. So I think the lack of support is also where we see the differences in gender. And I think that's something I would like to see. And I talk to my the members of the group. We talk about advocating for what we want too, and like asking for what we want, even if we don't think people are always going to be able to provide that too.
Well, and I think you probably just answered my next question of why is a group like this so important to give dads a space that is dedicated for them to focus on their grief and their needs.
No, I think that is part of it. That much like that other, I mentioned that other father who said that, this is the group nobody wants to be a part of. They know they're not alone. They hear the experiences of other members of the group, and there's many commonalities, but there's also unique components about each loss, as well. But they hear from other members who most people can't say, "Oh, I know what you're feeling." This group, they know what they've experienced, though. They may not know the unique aspects of what they dealt with, but they've dealt with this loss themselves. So I do think, and that's the benefit of having a support network like that, is knowing that they're not alone. What I also find helpful about the group, too, and I kind of alluded to this a little bit earlier, is that we have fathers at different stages of loss, though. We have fathers who are coming in, 5 to 10 days after having a loss. And I met somebody a week ago, a week and a half ago, who experienced the loss 7 or 8 years, and he came back to the group. And so the opportunity to hear from people at different points in their journey, and the ability to recognize that, they can handle this, that the first few weeks, most believe that they can handle this, though. And it is extremely difficult for many fathers. But they get the opportunity to learn coping strategies from the other members of the group, and I watched some of them during the discussions, like how to honor their child, and some of the dads will be like taking notes down by what somebody else had said. And I think that's another benefit of the group too. It really is. I'm a facilitator for the group. It's not a therapeutic group. It's they support one another. Many of them make connections outside of the group, that we have people living in similar cities, and they find time to get together and go to events. And I think that shared commonality, I think, is probably more than they get from seeing somebody individually, is getting that out of a group setting too.
You mentioned some of the societal expectations or pressures. Are there specific things that you think are, maybe myths or misconceptions that people have about grieving dads? Or maybe just in general, is there something that you wish more people understood about them and their journeys?
And I think, again, that goes to using Star Legacy as an example. Having the dads group meet twice a month, I think, was a smart move, because these dads need that. They're not getting the support in the real world as much as moms may be. And I think the fact that Star Legacy also has extended support groups for other family members too, I think, is important. I think the support is that they're, what are societal roles? Like, men, oh, just walk it off. Like, oh, you didn't actually give birth. Like, it's not as difficult for you. It is difficult, though. And then, so they need their support. They also, it's beneficial to think about, I believe it's beneficial to think about how they might be trying to take on more of the burden of their partner's loss. And I don't want my wife to see me cry, so I go here to cry and to emote. And that's a choice that they're making. And I'm not saying it's a wrong choice, but it also reflects to me that they probably need some additional level of support, and they're not comfortable asking for it. And they're not always getting it from other sources. And again, I just think that that's people don't know. That's a misperception to your question before about what they may need. Only way that'll happen is if people ask them, and if people also, if the individuals are willing to ask others for that kind of support as they need it too.
So you definitely hinted at a few things, but what are some common themes around what a lot of these dads find to be helpful?
Yeah. So I think, again, the support is one of the things that they find helpful from the group. Almost, I would say, like two-thirds, if not more, of our dads, their coping strategy, initially at least, is just staying active. And that's not a bad thing, like, because if your mind is engaged in something else, it interferes with the ability to engage in reliving some of the traumatic events, or thinking about the anxiety for what now. Like when I hear dad say, "Well, my family will never be complete until I have another child," and the anxiety they experience about that possibility. So I do think staying active is an important part, but that's not a solution. And I think getting an opportunity to, and our groups provide that, but also our groups are limited, like twice a month for an hour. You need more support outside of here, and finding other individuals to hopefully help them with that support. The other thing I think that, and I appreciate when our group members share their personal experiences and what they've done, is when, we call it in the group, acting as if they didn't have this loss. Now, we all know they had the loss and they've experienced it, but many set up these boundaries for themselves about, "I shouldn't go to the movies. I just had a loss 3 months ago. I'm not going to enjoy going to the baseball game as much as I would have if we had our child." And all those things may be true, but we still want them to do some behaviors that hopefully historically have elicited some positive emotional experience in them. It's not going to be the same. They're not going to enjoy things as much. They're not going to go, we talk about like anniversary reactions in our groups all the time. And like, a first day of school is often a trigger for many families that they see, and many dads, they see another child at the bus stop and they're thinking, "My child should have been standing right next to them." And we recognize and understand that in the group. We talk about anniversary reactions, and holidays as triggers, but, and it's an individual decision, but we talk about trying to have them do things that can help bring out some positive emotions, which then serve as a buoy against those days when they're struggling, though, that they know, okay, this loss is, this is not some, this is the, probably the most challenging personal loss I may have experienced, but I have these other things in my life as that are helping me, and also an opportunity for me to, think about ways to honor my child too. And so we really try to take a supportive approach, a behavioral approach, and then a cognitive approach. Like, what are the things they could think that will help them deal with a potential stressor coming up? Seeing family members at the holiday who have children that would be the same age as my child. What do I need to do in that moment to tolerate it? And if I'm uncomfortable, be okay leaving that environment too. And so we really take a cognitive and behavioral approach towards, reviewing strategies that people have found helpful too.
And I want to believe that a lot of these dads have people around them, whether it's family, friends, coworkers, neighbors, that want to be supportive, but probably just don't know what to do or aren't equipped to do that. So if someone is listening that is kind of in that boat, they have a friend or an extended family member, what suggestions do you have for them on how to help?
I mean, that's a great question, because, and my answer is going to be slightly vague, but it's unique to the individual too. The simplest thing that, when I reflect on our personal experience, we had friends sending us food for the first week, just to get basic needs met, because that's not something that we were capable of doing. And we probably didn't eat it right away, but it was easier than actually to know that somebody was reaching out in that way. And I'm not suggesting that's everybody's solution is to send food to people, but that people are looking out for your basic needs. And what I would say is, asking, this goes to the unique part, asking for what they need, asking, if normally you would ask them to go to a specific event, don't assume that they don't want to go to that event. They may not, and they may say no to that, but ask them if that's something they'd like to do. Respecting when they want to set limits and the degree of discussion that they may want to have about that. Any discussion you have with them is an opportunity for them to seek out the support. And so if it's a brief discussion, that's fine. If it's a discussion about not the loss, but in a different context, I think that's the kind of what happened was abnormal. Let's give them some level of normalcy, though. Like abnormal statistically, it's not typical that individuals experience a stillbirth. So let's provide them with something that would be we normally historically would do in our relationships with them. Ask what they need, and if they don't need anything, or if they're setting limits, respect those limits too.
So, are there, in your experience in working with all these different fathers, are there any lessons that have stood out to you, or maybe poignant moments that really kind of demonstrate some of these key points or things that stand out?
Without giving any of the group
Of course.
members information or personal details away, and I finish these groups usually 8 o'clock on a Monday night, and I almost always go decompress with my wife afterwards because A, she's a psychologist, and B, she's had the same loss that I've had, and the circumstances are all unique. Whether early in the pregnancy, shortly after birth, and I hear these stories, and your heart goes out to the individuals. There's one quote that I remember, Lindsay, that one of the dads said, and still like resonates with me when I say it, is how do you say goodbye to somebody who you've never actually had gotten the chance to meet? I watched the other group members and the emotional response that they all had to that. Hearing new dads or dads who just buried their children talk about the process. We spoke about this in group. They shouldn't build caskets for infants, though. And this is not something that we talk about or plan for. And so planning a funeral and the challenges attached to that. And then we recently had a dad who had to do that. And like the funeral was on, I think, a Saturday. And he said on Sunday, okay, now what? Like he went into planning mode and he said, this is what I typically would do. And I did all this and I got through the service. And now what? Is you're left with this emptiness, though. Having fathers talk about, putting together all their children's bed frames and toys and things like that, and they're all sitting in a room that's locked, and they don't go in that room. And I think the hearing those stories and then encouraging them to think about what do they want to do about that room, and do they want to have somebody else assist them with it? Do they want to hold on to those things? Like you hear those stories, and everyone's unique. And what we always say to the group members, we all say it to each other, there's no right or wrong answer for this. Like, there's no, this is what you're comfortable with. This is what makes sense for you. It is an emotional experience. The groups are very often quite emotional. It's an emotional experience. You have to figure out what is appropriate and healthy for you to do. And if others may judge you for that, you shouldn't be grieving still at this point, or you have to be around your nieces and nephews, but you're not comfortable for that. You don't have to do that at this point. So we try to help parents and dads remember that each of their losses is unique, no right answers, and hearing their experiences, reinforce why it's important to have groups like this, but also agencies like Star Legacy are providing these things too.
So if we are, someone listening right now is a dad who is really new in their grief journey. What do you want them to know, or what would you say?
And so when we do our groups, Lindsay, we always start with a brief introduction of each member of the group, and I intentionally let the new dads go last. And I when I look at the numbers of dads who are joining and I've seen faces that I haven't seen before, I know that's going to be even more of an emotional group, but I intentionally let them go last so they can hear basically they're not alone. Like I'm operating under the assumption that they have not had much support to this point, or at least not support from someone else who can say, I heard your story. I relate to that because I had this loss. And again, recognizing every loss is unique. So I think for new dads, recognizing that they're not alone, and I think, seeking out support when needed. I also think the first few weeks and then the first few months are the most challenging. We talk about within the group the first year being like a full spectrum of every experience they're going to have, every holiday, every potential birthday that it would have been, like things that, and hearing from the other dads, like, all right, what do we do about our Christmas card? Last year, we sent out a Christmas card announcing the pregnancy. What do we do about the Christmas card this year? And it goes back to what I've said a couple times during this discussion. There's no right answer. It's what works best and what works right for you. But like letting them hear that they're not alone, and then letting them understand that there are going to be certain factors that will trigger emotional responses in you, and that's to be expected. And when that happens, that's when you have to have the resources and the awareness of who to reach out to and what things you've done historically that are not going to take away this loss. Nothing is going to take away this loss. And when dads say that I want to get back to what I was, I probably say something that they may not see helpful initially is that's not going to happen. You're not going to, you are changed. That doesn't mean you can't be happy. That doesn't mean you're not going to move forward, but you are a different person than you were before you had this experience, before you had this loss. And so for dads to recognize that and still do the things that seeking out the support as they need it, that's just going to help them manage this better. And so if there are any dads, Lindsay, who are listening, like that would be my suggestion, is recognizing you're not alone and also seeking out the support and help. And it can be from, it doesn't have to be from your closest family members. You'll find who does well at this job, and I would encourage you to stick with and communicate with that individual too.
I think that's fantastic advice. So my last question for you is that clearly this is emotional and can be very heavy work. And you are doing it both on a professional, but then also in personal spaces as well. How do you keep this from having a negative influence on your own grief journey? And how do you you mentioned at the very beginning that you have found this to be a way to honor Savannah, but how did you get there, and how does that kind of take more of a positive angle? Because it could very easily go negative, I think.
Yeah. Now, and yeah, it's a good question. I attended a talk about a year and a half ago that looked at not stillbirth, but looked at infertility, and it looked at the response rates of individuals with infertility and how it impacts couples, that a percentage of the couples become actually stronger from the challenges of infertility, and a decent percentage of the couples on the other end of the continuum struggle with it and maybe leads to a dissolution of their relationship too. And I think about that with stillbirth too, that I think the loss and the grief that goes along with it, people can take many different pathways as a result of this. You said at the beginning, Lindsay, how do I not let this have an influence on me? It does. I think, but I don't always see it as a negative influence. I get emotional. Lindsay, I got emotional during our conversation today. And there are points that I get triggered from it. And I put that into the whole, this is the human experience. This is what loss does to people. And then how is that going to affect, not that clinicians are better at handling our emotions than others, but how is it going to affect the individuals, the dads that I work with? And then what I'm left each week with, or every 2 weeks after the support group, these are the dads that are coming to the meeting. There are so many more dads out there who could, I believe, could, and moms too, could benefit from seeking out the support that, for whatever practical, but my guess is more emotional reasons, don't pursue this though. And I think that's what keeps me, so it does have an impact on me, but I think that's what keeps me doing this. It's a way to honor my daughter, but it's also a way to give the kind of help that I wish I had available to me 7 years ago and spread the message about awareness and how important support is. And if my group members get together outside of group and they support one another, that for me, that's another important part of the whole dynamic of a group, is that they're able to develop coping strategies and work with each other and seek out support as they're needed, as needed. So from a clinical perspective, as I said at the beginning, I think it did increase my ability to be more empathetic, clinically. I think I was already pretty good at that, but loss takes on a different meaning now, and I'm not quickly dismissing, well, that's not a big deal. Well, it is a big deal to you. And loss of a stillbirth, obviously that's a big deal. And loss of a child to stillbirth is a big deal. So I try to, I think professionally it increased my empathy. And then personally, this is, the time and effort that I would have loved to have spent parenting Savannah. I'll spend the time and effort trying to educate and support others as they go through a journey that none of us wanted to take, though.
I think that is so inspiring for a lot of people. And I think a lot of people will probably resonate with what you're hearing too.
Well, thank you. And I'm so glad that, again, to be working with Star Legacy and trying to provide this support. And it's such an important opportunity for people to get things that they're probably not getting elsewhere too. And so I'm very thankful to participate in the talk this afternoon, but also to be part of this agency that really is meeting the needs where a society I don't think we are.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, we are so grateful for everything that you do for Star Legacy and all of these families. We're so grateful that you've shared Savannah with us and with so many other people, because it truly is an honor to get to know her through you, and to share a little bit in some of that special light that she is shining
Yeah.
on the world. So thank you so much for the time today and always,
Thank
and
you, Lindsay.
thanks for sharing your information.
Okay. Thank you. Have a great day.
Thanks. Take care.